Welcome to Stories in the Valley. I'm your host, Charles Kiernan.
Given the political season, we have decided to bring you a political story. This is a piece by J. O'Callaghan, which we have edited down, not because of content, but to fit it into a 15-minute slot. So, with no further ado, here is J. O'Callaghan and Politics.
When I was 14 years old, I still loved climbing. 14, I climbed way up to the top of our house on Pill Hill, and I sat there. Boston was 10 miles away to my back, but I was looking over Pill Hill, way down Svensson's driveway, 20 yards long. I was looking at that wooden fence, 8 feet tall, waiting for one of my best friends to climb over, Todd Adams. I hadn't seen him in a month. That's because his father, Professor Adams, was the strictest man in the neighborhood. He was famous for his punishments. Todd, he loved to play basketball in his driveway, but Todd had the habit of leaving the basketball in the driveway so his father couldn't drive the Cadillac right into the garage. Todd had done that one too many times, drove his father crazy, and Todd had been in a month. And all of a sudden, this sound truck went over Pill Hill. Stevenson, Stevenson, Stevenson for president. Stevenson, Stevenson is the one for us. It was the first time in my life I was interested in presidential politics. Stevenson against Eisenhower. And tonight, for the first time in my life, I was going to sneak out of the house. 10 o'clock, I was going to sneak out and go to Boston Garden. Stevenson was giving the last rally of the whole campaign, and Todd was sneaking out. Hey, Todd! Hey, how are you? Todd climbed over, and he started down the sloping driveway, and, hey, Todd, how are you doing? He said, I'm free. I'm out of the pen. All right, I'll meet you on forceps. We'll play handball. I started to climb way down the roof. I finally jumped down the back stairs, ran down to our trash can, and got an empty tomato soup can. And all right, I'm the batter. You're the pitcher. I got on the sidewalk with the broomstick. Todd took that can, and he threw it in at this great big arc. And I watched the can as carefully as I could, just where the red met the white, and I swung, plunk, got it right in the middle, and the can soared over Todd's head. He was running hard. He was going to make an over-the-shoulder Willie Mays basket catch, and he would have caught it, except just that moment, our neighbor, Florence Beam, came out of her house, and Florence Beam was bigger than her house. Theodore Pumphrey Adams! She came steaming up the sidewalk at us. We never fooled with her. Well, today, she said, Todd Adams, you nearly put my eye out with the can. And Todd looked at the can. It had landed 100 feet away from her. Do you want me to call your father? That was the worst threat. He shook his head. You are the descendant of a president. Two presidents of the United States, and you're playing with a can. And you're 14 years old, and you're climbing trees. You're playing with cans. Grow up! For 10 minutes, she lectured us. And then that sound truck came over Pill Hill. Stevenson, Stevenson, Stevenson for president. Florence Beam disapproved of many things. This year it was Stevenson. Eisenhower! She said to Todd, your parents have the sense to vote for Eisenhower, and yours? My parents like Eisenhower, but they say Stevenson is articulate. He is a ninny and a Democrat. Eisenhower! She went down, opened up her door. Eisenhower slammed the door in our face. Todd looked at the closed door and said, Fatso, come on, Todd, we got a half an hour left. Even on the best days, he was allowed to play 1 hour because his father was so strict. Come on, all right, I'll show you my stamp collection. Great! So we ran over Pill Hill, down Svensson's, climbed the fence and started to run quarter mile to Todd's. We ran by that giant oak tree at the green and finally got to Todd's. Oh, I loved it. It was a three-story brown house, beautiful garden. We went in the back way and stepped in that huge entry room. Oh, it was the most orderly house I've been in my life. Todd's mother came down the corridor, and she was a small, sparrow-like woman, very kind to me. Said, nice to you. It's been a whole month. Give my best to your mother, will you? Todd, you got two tests tomorrow. You got the Latin test at 9 a.m, and your father wants a good mark. And you got the book report, too. He wants to hear that. Better get busy. I will, Mom. I'm going to show the stamp collection. Todd, he ran down the front hall. I relaxed. We never used the front hall when Professor Adams was home because he did not approve of me. I ran up into Todd's room and he was in the closet getting the stamp collection and the front door opened and slammed. And Todd said, oh no, I left the basketball out. Todd's father had a thin, angry voice. Todd, get that basketball! We ran outside and there was the basketball in the driveway so Professor Adams couldn't drive the Cadillac in the garage. We threw the basketball in, ran into the kitchen to get a Coca-Cola, and Professor Adams came in to make tea. As always, he pretended I didn't exist. I was invisible. He walked right around me. Todd, You got two tests tomorrow. I want a good mark on the Latin test. They're clear? They're clear? I want to hear the book report in my study at 8 o'clock. Is that clear? I think you better get busy. That meant I was to go. We went out on the back stoop and I said, Todd, you are not going to the Stevenson rally. I'll go by myself. See you later. I'm going to that rally. You throw a pebble at my window 10 o'clock. All right, Todd. I'll see you 10 tonight. 9:30, I went downstairs and I kissed Mommy and Daddy goodnight and I ran up to my bedroom and I had never snuck out, and sure, not on school night. So when I climbed out on the roof, I was too nervous to climb down. Too excited, so I climbed to the very top of our roof and sat there, and Boston was twinkling in the distance. And that's when I realized it. This was late October, but it was warm and getting warmer every second. You could almost smell watermelon in the night. So I started down the roof, and I finally made it to the gutter. Turned around, jumped down to the back stairs, and ran down those stairs over Pill Hill, way down Svensson's. I climbed the fence and started running the quarter mile. At the giant oak tree, I stopped. The only sound in the whole neighborhood were two dogs barking. School nights were sacred in the neighborhood. When I got to Todd's, I had to be so careful. I was standing in the garden, Todd's bedroom window on the second floor, and Professor Adams, he was 6 feet away, reading in his study. I almost had the feeling he knew I was there. I caught the pebble. Todd climbed out. What he should have done is hang from the gutter and let go, but he didn't. He coiled up there. And he sprang out and landed with a tremendous thump. And Professor Adams put the book down. And we crept away. We ran down into the village. After 15 minutes, finally, the bus came to bring us to Kenmore Square. Jumped onto that bus. We finally got to Kenmore Square, home of the Boston Red Sox, and ran down into the subway, and I loved it. It was filled with those wonderful subway smells of gum and dust. There was a lovely woman there with a feather in her hat, perfect for a watermelon night. When we got to Park Street and jumped off, I was afraid we were late. We were going to miss the whole rally. It had taken so long. And then we had to wait 20 minutes. 20 minutes for the North Station car. Finally, we got to North Station. I jumped out. Come on, Todd. We ran all the way down the stairs into Boston Garden. No tickets. And this guard in a red suit said, go ahead. He let us in. In Boston Garden, you get in by running up this ramp. Up and up and up the ramp. And the ramp, it smells of peanuts, hot dogs, beer, and elephants. Up and up and up. And finally, we pushed open a door, stepped into Boston Garden, and it was electric. It was all dark except for these spotlights way down on the speaker's platform. Stevenson was down there, everybody cheering, and Stevenson way down there had a handkerchief. He was wiping the sweat from his bald head, and we went down the aisle. We went halfway down the aisle because it was standing room only. And finally, everyone stopped cheering, and Stevenson said, and in concluding, I'd like to say that yesterday a prominent member of the opposition noticed I had a hole in my shoe. The prominent member of the opposition said it was appropriate for me to have a hole in my shoe. He said it was odd, and I was too odd to be the president. Everyone booed and Stevenson waited. And he went on to say the Democrats were odd. People laughed and booed. And indeed, it's true, we are odd. But then again, Socrates was odd, and Jefferson was odd, and Lincoln was odd. They were odd in that they discovered what was best about them, and they used that best in life. If this is oddness, let's have more of it. Seems to me that's what this land is all about. Thank you. Good night. It was the quietest ending. Nobody did anything. And then all of a sudden, the 21,000 people are on their feet. I never heard a sound like that in my life. For 5 minutes, I never heard anything like that. I looked at Todd's face. I never saw it so happy. Everybody was cheering. And then the band struck up. Stevenson, 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 the president. Another 5 minutes, people took hands and laughed and shouted. And then way down below, Stevenson took his shoe off and he waved the shoe back and forth. It had gone on 15 minutes. I said, Todd, it's going to go on forever. Just when I said that, oh, they were turning all the lights on in Boston Garden, and we looked down, and they were helping Stevenson off. The platform was over. Todd said, we can't go. We got to take a souvenir. All right. Well, the only souvenirs that were all along the seats were these little pictures of the smiling face of Adlai Stevenson. We got a dozen, and we headed up the aisle. And then Todd, hey, way up where the Boston Celtics banners are, the workmen were lowering these gigantic pictures of the smiling face of Adlai Stevenson down. Todd said, let's take one souvenir. All right, all right. So we ran all the way down to the speaker's platform, and the workmen had lowered the first of these giant pictures. I unhooked it, and the workmen didn't shout at me. The picture of Stevenson. It was 6 feet high, 4 feet wide. It was on thick cardboard. It weighed at least 20 pounds. This was not something you could fold. And we started up the aisle with the smiling face of Adlai Stevenson. All the way up the aisle, I was watching this big, beefy Boston cop. He looked at me and finally kind of snarled and then turned his back. He let us go. We got outside. I'll bet there were 1,000 people that are going to wait for that North Station car. That was going to take hours. We had to make the 5 minutes of one bus, the last bus from Kenmore Square. We walked all the way through Boston to Park Street. It took a long time. I was afraid we were going to miss that bus now. We got to Kenmore Square. We ran up the stairs. Todd is here. Oh, the bus was here. Let's go. I got on the bus laughing away. I didn't know how we were going to get 6 feet of picture on the front of the bus. And the driver said, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Get that off the bus. Listen, get it off my bus. Okay. We got the picture off and stood it up. And this old guy behind the driver said, Harry, they're kids. Open the back door. Jeez. He opened the back door. We got the giant picture on. The old guy turned around. Ha! It was about 20 past 1 or something like that. We got off the bus. I had the back of the picture now, and we started uphill hill. My heart was beating. I was scared to death. I was sure one of the police cars from the village would pull up, find out who we were, and take us home. They always did that. And that meant Professor Adams would open his door, 2 o'clock at night or so. He would see a policeman with his son, and I wouldn't see Todd for 25 years. So I kept watching for that police car, but we made it to Pill Hill. Now we were going by the Lawrences. Next house across Forsep was ours. We had done it. That's when I made the joke. I said, hey, Todd, we ought to put it in Mrs. Beam's bedroom. I thought we'd go right across to Forceps to our cellar, but Todd turned. He was headed down the sidewalk with the picture toward the Beam's house. Todd, we can't put it in Mrs. Beam's bedroom. Todd, she'll call your father. And Todd turned around and said, we're putting it in her bedroom. She will never admit that it happened. So we went in their front gate. We went all the way to their front door. Todd, I will climb in the attic and let you in. I ran around the back of the house. I was the climber. I had to do it. They had a maple tree, and I climbed way up to the third floor, and the attic was way out to the left. But I made it to the attic window, and I prayed it would be locked. But it slid open. I bent in, climbed in, shut the window, and I was standing in enemy territory. I knew Mrs. Beam was probably calling the police right now. It was the stupidest thing I ever did. So I started down those attic stairs, and everyone creaked in the dark. They were wooden, and no matter what I did, they creaked. So by the time I got to the last stair, I was a nervous wreck. I got hold of the handle, and that would lead me to the second floor landing. I stepped out into it in the dark. I had to get out of here. I was too nervous now. My heart was pounding like mad, but I could hear the sound just to my left. Dr. and Mrs. Beam's bedroom door. It was shut, but I heard the sound. And I realized it was one of those old-fashioned fans that go back and forth in the bedroom. The sound had saved me. So I started down the carpeted front stairs. I finally made it to the front door, and I had to get out. I said, Todd, go, go, I have to go. I don't know whether he understood me or not, but he just shoved the picture at me. Next thing I know, I was backing up the stairs with the giant face of Adlai Stevenson. We got to the top and we stood Stevenson up. Our eyes were used to the dark. In the double bed, we could see the ordinary figure of Dr. Beam and the extraordinary figure of Mrs. Beam. We carried the giant face of Adlai Stevenson in. We put it at the foot of the bed so she would wake to the smiling face of Adlai Stevenson. We must have spent 5 minutes getting out of that house. We shut the front door. Not a sound. We ran over Peel Hill, down Svensson, climbed the fence, and Todd said, woohoo, we did it! We ran to the giant oak tree, round and round, dancing around. And Todd said she's going to wake up in the morning, see Adlai Stevenson. She's going to shut her eyes, open them again. He's going to still be there. We were like little kids running around that tree. We wanted to spend the night here. But Todd had the Latin test 9 in the morning. So finally, we started to walk slow as we could. But before I knew it, we were standing in the garden. It was over. I said, Todd, you think we'll always be friends? We'll always be friends. I helped him so he could go up the pipe and pull himself up the gutter. I started to run, and I ran maybe 10 feet because I wanted this night to go on forever. I walked to the giant oak tree, and the only sound on the night was the wind through the leaves. It was like Wonderland. I walked down Svensson's and climbed to the very top of our roof. I sat there, and Boston was twinkling in the distance. Oh. And I was thinking Todd and I would always stick together. We would always be friends. We would always be running around that oak tree, dancing around the oak tree forever and ever. And then I was thinking, oh, that was the perfect thought to end a watermelon night. Politics!
I don't know about you, but this November, I want to vote for Adlai Stevenson.
The Lehigh Valley Storytelling Guild holds its storytelling circle at Godfrey Daniels at 7 East 4th Street in Bethlehem on the second Wednesdays of the month at 7:30 p.m., except the month of August. Come and listen to stories or try out a story yourself. We are a friendly audience and the event is free. That's all for now. Have fun and keep a story in your heart.